All right, welcome. We are in the eighth parak, the eighth chapter in Yahushua, and hopefully we're actually going to wrap up this war with the nation of Ai that's been building already for the last few weeks. A quick recap of where we've been. After the Jews defeated Jericho, they went on to this smallish city by the name of Ai, and it's right near Jericho, west of Jericho, of Jericho, and they send out scouts. The scouts explore, and they say it's a small city, it's nothing. Send out a few thousand people, you'll be fine, and we don't have to exhaust everybody going to war against this tiny little city. That doesn't work out so well. They go out to battle, and Yahushua sends the high end of that. He sends out 3,000. That's the high end estimate. But they are routed quickly by the people of Ai, and they come running back, and 36 people die. We discussed the significance of the 36 and that particular number. And the nation feels something is wrong. Yahushua turns to Hashem to ask, why have you abandoned us? And God's answer is, the Jews have sinned, but you're going to have to figure out exactly who it is. I'm not interested in being the one to tell you. You know, it's for my own interest, because they took from the spoils of the war with Jericho. Fine. Yahushua figures it out. It's this fellow named Achan, and Achan confesses to what he has done. He is punished for what he has done. And then, in the beginning of Perek Chet, chapter 8, as we saw last week, the Jews prepare to go to war with Ai. So Hashem told Yahushua, don't be afraid. Now I have given them to you because you have righted the wrong that was performed. You will do to Ai as you did to Jericho, to Jericho. We gave a few different explanations for what that might mean. Abarbanel said in particular it means to burn the city when they conquer it, and that's going to be relevant this week. And it brings us to Pasuk Gimel, sentence 3. We're going to start from Pesukim Gimel Techet, chapter 8, sentences 3 to 8 in Yahushua. When someone has the page in the art scroll, call it, please.
534
in the art scroll. Thank you. Okay. Vayakav Yahushua v'chol am ha-milchama la'alos ha'ai. Yahushua and the entire nation of war, meaning all of the soldiers, get up to go up to Ai. And remember, we said already last time that Ai is on a mountaintop or a hilltop of some kind, and that's part of what makes them a great fortress. They are protected against attack. So they are going to go up to Ai. Vayibchar Yahushua 30,000 ish giborei achayel. And Yahushua picks 30,000 soldiers, 10 times the number from last time. Vayishlachem laila. And he sends them at night. Where does he send them? They're not attacking at night. Vayitzavo somli more. He instructed them, saying, Re'u, see, atem orvim la'ir me'acharei ha'ir. You are going to be an ambush for the city, behind the city. Al tarchiku min ha'ir ma'od. Don't go far from the city. Ve'yisem kulchem nechonim. Be ready. Why does he have to tell them don't go far from the city? Why does he have to tell them be ready? Isn't that fairly obvious as part of, you know, your role being an ambush? We don't want them falling asleep on the job. So the Malbim in his commentary goes into a whole discussion based on the ninth chapter in Shoftim and Judges to show there are multiple kinds of ambush, and this is actually suited to the kind of ambush they are. I didn't bring it because it gets a little bit heavy. But he's basically showing there are different military approaches, and this is the one that's appropriate for their position, for what they're going to have to do. Va'ani v'chol ha'am asher iti nikrav el ha'ir. And he says, I'm not going with you into the ambush. I, and the group that's with me, we're going to go close to the city, meaning not as an ambush, but from the front. Now, I'll tell you now, because we're going to see it later, but it's relevant now. The city of Ai has its entrance on its north side. Okay, remember, its east side is towards Jericho, towards Jericho. North side is the entrance of the city. So Yahushua says, I'm going to come with a group that's going to attack them from the north. He told the ambush, you're going to be behind the city. Presumably that is
south.
South. Good. Okay, we're oriented. So we think we are. Wait till Malbim gets a hold of you. It'll be when they come out to greet us as happened last time. We will run away before them. That's my plan. Good. They're going to come out after us. Ad hatikenu osam min ha'ir. Until we get them out of the city. The word hatikenu is a funny word. How do your Nevi'im, I should say, translate hatikenu? Still involved?
Drawn them.
Until we draw them from the city. Okay. So the word itself is an odd word. If you add in an ayin, then it works. Like we had vayatek misham hahara in Lech Lecha. It means to go from one place to another. So we are going to take them, hatikenu osam, we're going to get them to travel. Because we're going
to
lure them out of the city. That's also with an ayin. That's also with an ayin. Sorry? Well, that would be to make them old. But I don't know what we would do with that. Or copying, for that matter. It's kind of hard to fit. But without the ayin, and our text is without the ayin, it makes it a little more difficult. So some of the mafarshim suggest, some commentators suggest, that it's from the word teak. Right? Like you're going to, like a bag or a wallet, so to speak. And the idea is that they're going to surround the people from the city. When they come out, they're going to be surrounded on all sides. But the best explanation I saw is actually best rendered, separate them. Linatake is to separate something from whatever it had been attached to. And that's the goal, is to separate the population from the city. You want the warriors to come out and you want to cut them off. That's the idea. And in fact, if you look ahead quickly to Pasuk Tet Zayin, sentence 16, the end of the sentence is going to say that the nation of warriors who come out of the city, Vayudafu Acharei Yehoshua, they chased Yehoshua, Vayinatku Min Ha'ir, which is that word for being cut off. So to me, it's logical to take the approach that it's from the word Lenatek, and we don't have to add any ayins to the word. So Yehoshua says, they're going to come out to greet us. We are going to run away. They're going to follow us until hatikenu osam in a year, until we cut them off from the city. Ki yomaru nasim lefaneinu kasher barishonam, back in Pasuk Vav. They're going to say, oh, the Jews are running away before us like they did the first time. V'nasnu lifneihem. And that's in fact what we're going to do. We're going to run away. Ve'atem. And you, Pasuk Zayin, takumu meha orev. You get up out of the ambush. V'horashtem esha'ir, and conquer the city. Unsana Hashem ale elokehem b'yadchem. Hashem, your God, will give it into your hands. Hashem is on your side. Last sentence in this section. V'ayakisach sechem esha'ir, and it will be when you conquer the city. Tatsisu esha'ir ba'esh. You will light the city on fire. Kidvar Hashem ta'asu. You will do as Hashem has instructed. Re'u tzivisi eschem. See, I have instructed you. That's the unit. What questions arise in your mind on this? Yeah.
Well, I have a question. So from what I understand, so there's the ambush who's waiting to go into the city, but then what about those warriors who are fleeing? How are they going to be saved? I mean, they're going to be attacked by the entire city coming after them. It doesn't look like anyone's watching their back. Do you think they're just going to, it's just going to be miraculous? Like, you know, because last time maybe there are more of them, but They ran away, but they lost men, right?
You're asking a fundamentally good question, right? What happens to this group that's play-acting,
right,
which Yehoshua is with?
Mm-hmm.
The ambush is all well and good in terms of destroying the city now that the soldiers are out, but what are you going to do? You have a lot of soldiers running around. So we're going to have to see how they solve that problem. You're right, that's an issue that's going to have to be dealt with.
Are there people still left in the city? Are they burned?
I thought it was a good idea to destroy the wasp's nest, right? Until I then had to deal with the wasps.
Right.
Sorry, Simon.
Yeah.
Well, the soldiers are out of the city, who's left in the city, and are there people left in the city? Are they being burned in the city?
We'll have to see that one.
The buildings? What happens to those other
right, we're going to have to talk about that.
Because presumably soldiers run out of the city.
But not everybody else. Correct. We have to deal with that one.
Who have been children, so.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's something we're going to have to address. We're not there yet. What else is odd?
If the warriors are in the back, who's with Yehoshua in the front?
Well, they're warriors also.
Well, how did they get
a lot of warriors?
Well, we didn't get exact numbers on the breakdown. All we know is he took 30,000.
Yehoshua took 30,000 in his group.
No, 30,000
overall.
So we think that he might be breaking them down between him and the ambush group.
Right. But how
we're going to find out the size of the city, by the way, before we're done.
How do they get into the city if the entrance is on the north side?
How does who get in? The ambush?
No, Yeah, we have one.
So they have to come around. In other words, the purpose of being behind the city is lying in wait. So
they're hiding.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the idea. No, they have a few thousand people.
The soldiers are running after them. Then it's as if they come around and go into the city. So they take over the city that way, but then what happens outside?
Right, so that was the question. That was Lino's
question. How are they going to defend those?
Yeah. No, these are real questions. Not to mention, we have mentioned before that the city of Ai is not alone. Right? We talked about the fact that Yoshua had asked the spies to go investigate the area to see how the neighbors are, right? And they never did that. So what are we doing about those neighbors? Like, even if the people of Ai, for some unfathomable reason, are only looking out their front door, and therefore don't notice 10,000 people or whatever the number is hanging out, you know, bless you, outside the western wall or the southern wall of their city, what about the neighbors, right? The people in Beit El, right? They're between Beit El and Ai. So what about the people in Beit El? So we have to deal with this question. This isn't, it isn't simple and straightforward. What at the end?
Yeah. Also at the end, like, all of a sudden, oh, I'm commanding you to burn the city, when last time it was just, don't take the spoils, don't do anything.
Last time they did burn the city. They were instructed to destroy the city. They did burn it. Remember we had the whole connection to Yerhidachat? That we discussed then. We did burn the city, and actually that's when it says here, do as God told you. We don't have a specific instruction for I of burning the city, but my assumption is that's referring back to when he said, do as you did to Jericho. God said, do as you did to Jericho. You burned Jericho, so therefore burn this. That was the implication of that.
But it's a weird ending. Like, if you're saying, like, he says, what does he say there? He says, Kibar Hashem, and then he says, you know, Ru, like, I'm commanding you now. Like, it's Hashem's word, but I'm commanding you. Like,
right.
Why
so
do you
that's,
say it like that?
Right, so that's the really odd thing that jumped out at me in this section, is the ending. Ru Tzivisi Eschem. See? I'm commanding you to do this.
He's like trying to get his power back, like trying to get it.
To prove something.
Yeah.
Well, to prove something, or?
Well, he's taking over again, because Yeshua last time failed. So now it's like, I'm commanding, I'm giving the orders again.
Mm-hmm. It's a really strange few words to throw in at the end. Right? It doesn't have the same ring as, like, Rak Chazak Ve'ematz, right? Be strong and courageous is a good way to end the speech. V'mher B'yameinu, that's another, you know time-tested one. See, I am commanding you. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't have the same ring. So that's actually, I want to take a minute to focus on that. If you take a look on your sheet, I brought you three explanations from different classic commentaries here. Radak says, Ru'ud tzivisi eschem, see, I am commanding you, or I have commanded you. Kalomar, shetihyu zirizim. Be energetic, he says. Be energetic. Don't be lazy about doing this. Don't be slow in doing this. According to Radak, what is Yoshua worried about?
He doesn't rely on God doing everything for them. Because God commanded you to do this, and also you heard it, but no, you have to...
Why would they think God is going to do it? What would be their motive for thinking that?
Well, didn't he just say, this is what Kedvar Hashem tells
you? Yeah.
So...
But it's like Dvar Hashem said, go do.
He
didn't say, I'm going to do it.
Right.
Be energetic, as opposed to, are they weary about... What went down last time, so therefore they're kind of not sure what to do now.
Yeah. My gut would be to assume what Radak is saying is that Yeshua is concerned that these people, you know, felt like last time it didn't work out, maybe we don't need to rush headlong into doing this. Right? Maybe, you know, he wants me to do this, but I'm not running to, you know, give up my life in war against somebody who already beat us last time. So that, I think, is what Radak is seeing here. Radak is seeing a concern on Yehoshua's part, not so much about how he is perceived, but as the confidence level of the nation. And so he says, look, I'm telling you, be energetic about this. I'm not going to let you slack off and, you know, try to sort of hang back. That's one way to look at it.
Wouldn't Chazak Ve'ematz do that better than I'm commanding you? It almost feels like he has an agenda to prove that he's back in power.
Well, except that he has to deal with them, right? Remember back in the first chapter when they said, whoever rebels against you and doesn't listen to your command is going to die, right? So it is sort of like, you know, I'm commanding you, and we have a deal, and you don't want to cross that deal. So I think that's a piece of this. The he may also not like using the phrase Chazak Ve'Emetz. I'm not sure. Chazak, I mean, this is now complete, you know, supposition. But remember, Chazak Ve'Emetz was used on him. You know, for him to sort of be strong and courageous. I'm not sure that he's going to turn it around on them. But I think the stronger explanation is simply because there was a deal of, we're going to follow your instruction, so I'm reminding you, you have to go ahead with that. Mitzudat David, Rabbi David Al-Shuler, offers a different explanation, more directly about concerns for Yeshua's control. Re'utzi v'si, Ratzal Omar, Hizaharu v'altamrufi, meaning be careful and don't rebel against my word. In other words, what's Yeshua concerned about? They won't listen. They're uncertain that God is with him. And so he says, don't rebel against my word. I'm still the authority. And then Malvin gives a very different third explanation. Ru'ut CBC Eschem. He says, Vasalamar, Baal Tomru, Achar She'itir Hashem Lavoz Shelala, don't say, or lest you say, that since God permitted us to take from the spoils of the city, Takdimu La'atziyah Shalal, Tarim Tisrafu Ha'ir, so you're going to go into the city to get spoils before you burn the city. Since God said it's okay to take the gold, why in the world am I going to leave it there when I burn the city? That's not a good idea. So therefore, I'm going to rush in, not as Yeshua said, but I'm going to rush in to take everything. And so therefore I'm telling you, as my command, I am explaining what God wanted. When God said you could take from the spoils, that didn't mean loot the city. Burning the city is still what I'm telling you God wants to do, and I am the one who explains to you what it is that you're supposed to do. Re'ut CVC Eschem. Don't get ideas because of what you heard. So Radak is viewing this, Malvim, I should say, is viewing this very differently. Radak and Mitzudat David really seem to be looking at it as a concern that Yehoshua has, that they're either not going to follow him energetically or not going to follow him at all. Whereas Malvim is looking at it very differently and saying, sort of, he's worried that they actually don't understand what's expected of them. Because God said this and Yehoshua is saying this, and maybe what God wants is really for me to do something different, not what Yehoshua said. God wants me to take the spoils, not burn the city. Or take the spoils before I burn the city. And therefore I'm telling you, this is the way the events have to take place. This is what God meant. Clear? Okay. So that brings us to the war. And in this war, we're going to try to figure out how this worked. Mm-hmm. And who is where, and who got fooled when. So, Pasuk Ted, we start with sentence 9, and we're going to run clear through sentence 17. Vayishlachem Yehoshua. Yeshua sent them. Vayachu el ha-ma'arav. And they went to the ambush. Vayeshvu bein beis el uvein ha'ai miyam la'ai. There they are. Between, this is where your ambush is. Between Beit El and Ai, west of Ai. Okay, so now they're on the west side of the city. The city is facing north, right? I'm now making up directions. But the city is facing north. Yericho is to the east. The ambush, we thought, was going to be behind the city to the south, but actually now it sounds like they're to the west.
Vayechu el ma'arav, that's not a direction?
No, ma'arav's direction will be Unayin.
Oh, right.
Yeah, ma'arav with an olive is the ambush.
And then Beit El is west of that.
And then Beit El is west of that, correct.
How far?
Well, we only know that he told them don't go far from the city.
So that's not behind the city, then, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, it's around the city, it's not behind the city, correct. Vayal, I should have brought maps. Vayal and Yehoshua balayla ahu b'socha'am. And Yehoshua went to sleep that night in the middle of the nation. Okay. Which, by the way, goes back to the point about Yehoshua being with the nation in general. He got rebuked. Because when they went to Ai the first time, he wasn't with them. And God yelled at him for it. We understood that to be. There were two hints that God is not happy that he didn't lead them himself, and so now he is actually with them that night.
There is a map in the back, but it just shows the city. But
it doesn't tell you anything. It's not an ambush map.
It's not an ambush.
Oh well. Okay, that's good because I have nothing to do. Vayashkem Yehoshua baboker. Yehoshua gets up early in the morning. What page is it in the article for anyone who wants to look at it?
I just,
Okay, that's all right. Vayashkem Yeshua Baboker. Yeshua gets up early in the morning. Vayivkod es ha'am. Vayivkod is a funny word. It can mean to count, but we generally assume it does not, because counting your troops is a bad thing in Tanakh. Sorry?
It says inspected here.
Inspected. That tends to be a better word. We assume it doesn't mean instruct, because he already gave them their instructions. So inspecting them is generally what the commentators say. Vayal hu v'ziknei Yisrael lifnei ha'am ha'ay. And he and the elders of Israel ascended in front of the nation to Ai. V'chol ha'am ha'milchama asher ito alu, and all of the warriors with him, they all ascended. V'yikshu, they went forward. V'yavo neged ha'ir, and they came opposite the city. V'ya'anu mitzafon la'ai, and they camp north of Ai. So the attack is not on, but they're camping north of Ai. V'hagai beinav uvein ha'ai, with a guy, a low area, like a valley, between himself and Ai. So what you have to imagine now is that the Yeshua is, I'm changing directions again, this is now the north of the city, in order for me to be able to portray this. Yeshua is here, there's a dip in the ground, and then it ascends, and Ai is up here, with an ambush somewhere either west or south of the city. We still have to figure that out. But Yeshua is on the verge of the dip, which is sort of the point of no return before you actually get to Ai. Because once you are in that low-lying area below, you're now vulnerable. Archers on the walls, whatever they want, they not have you at their mercy. You're just on the cusp. Vayikach, Pasuk Yud Bet, sentence 12. Vayikach kachameshes alafim ish. So now we get some numbers. Out of this group of warriors that he has with him, he takes 5,000 men. Vayasem osam orev, bein beis el uvein ha'ai miyam la'ir. He makes an ambush between Beit El and Ai, west of the city. Now, didn't we do that already?
What?
We sent people west of the city. So now I'm really confused. Not just you, me too. Vayasimu ha'am es kol ha'machane asher mitzfon la'ir. The nation put this entire camp that was, what they put doesn't mean put, it means that they established the this group north of the city, and it's akev, right? It's heel. Miyam, appropriate for this parsha, miyam la'ir, west of the city. In other words, it has a flank to it that sort of wraps around west of the city from the north side. Vayelech Yoshua balayla ha'u b'socha emek. And Yeshua goes into the valley that night. So now, we just ended what is essentially day two, right? Day one was when he first gave them their instructions, we read about last week. Day two was when he started this process and he sent out the people north, and he then ended the day going down into the valley. And then the next day is day three. The reason I stress that is because what have we said over and over again? I think it's over and over again. Well, I've said it over and over again, maybe in different classes. But I think here too. That three-day trips, we talked about it, you know when we talked about it. It was way back when. It was when they the 3 days that they traveled getting to the Yarden, or maybe from the Yarden to Yericho. It was a three-day trip before. But the three-day trip, where do you find three-day trips in Tanakh?
Balad
before that one. 3 days of waiting to receive the Torah. Shloshim Hagbala. Good. What? Sorry.
Didn't the Meraglim, the ones in Yericho, didn't they wait 3 days?
3 days there. That's another place we talked about 3 days. Good.
Did Abraham
right at the Akedah? They walked 3 days to get to the Akedah. That's another 3 day trip. Esther, 3 days before going to the king. Yonah spends 3 days in the fish. Three-day trips or three-day periods are very important within the Torah. There are many more examples of it, believe it or not. There are 3 days between Yaakov's camp and Laban's camp, 3 days before the Jews are caught at the sea when they flee Mitzrayim. The three-day trips, I think, are something that is termed in sociology a time for a liminal transition. Rather than use the word inappropriately with people who know sociology present, what I mean by that is that it's a period when things are overturned, Generally speaking, when you're on the road, when you're not at home planted, the normal rules are sort of up in the air. And it's for the purpose of, at the end, reinforcing and building what had been the status quo, and improving on the situation. I read an article on this a few years back regarding Purim in particular and 3 days and this sort of concept. But the idea here, as I see what's going on here, is that what's meant to happen out of this 3 days is you go through this 3 day period of preparing for war, and it's chaotic, and people are running here and they're running there, and they're north or they're west or wherever they are. What's meant to happen at the end is a transition in the strengthening of Yehoshua. At the end of all of this, the nation is going to defeat Ai, reversing their loss, reversing their fear that came from that loss, and they're going to have instilled new confidence in Yehoshua through what's going to happen. It's a 3 day transition for them. Yonah goes through his transition in the fish, and so on in all of the 3 day periods. You can identify this. I would have liked to have brought you sources on it. Maybe I'll send it out in a follow up email afterwards. It didn't even dawn on me until I was reading now that this is one of those 3 day periods. Okay. God willing, I'll send out sources on that later. But the point is that yes, this is a major transition for the nation, and it is dragged out over this 3 day period. So what happens? Pasuk Yud Dalet, sentence 14. Vayhi kiros melech ha'ai. The king of Ai sees this. Vayimaru, and they rushed. Vayashkimu, and they got up early. Just like Yehoshua did a few psukim ago. Vayitzu anshei ha'ir lekras Yisrael la'melchama. And the people go out to greet Israel for war. Hu v'chol lamo eid lefnei ha'arava. Him, meaning the king, and his entire nation, which we assume does not mean his entire nation, but it means the warriors, just like Ammo has meant before. The Lamoed. What is Lamoed? At the time, is that how your translations do it? Cool point at a time. So that Mikra says Moed means the appointed place here. But all the commentators traditionally take it as a time, and so we are going to have to come back to that and explain what this Moed is that we're talking about. But they all come out Lamoed lefnei ha'arava, in front of the plains. V'hula yada ki orev lo me'acharei ha'ir. Ha! King didn't know. There's an ambush waiting for him behind the city. He's in trouble now. V'yinagu Yehoshua v'chol Yisrael lefneihem. Yehoshua and all Israel are literally wounded before them. They seem to be struck before these people who are pursuing them. Vayanusu derech hamidbar, and they flee to the wilderness. Vayizaku kol ha'amasher ba'ai, right? Ai is the way it's read, even though it's written as though it's ba'ir. The whole nation that is there in Ai, vayizaku, they are alerted to come out, lirdov acharehem, to pursue them. Vayidafu achrei Yehoshua. And they run after Yehoshua. Vayinat kumin ha'ir, as we said before, they're cut off from the city. V'lo nish'ar ish ba'ayu beit el asher lo yetzu acharei Yisrael. Not one man is left in the city. Everybody is now out. Or every male, perhaps. Vayazvu es ha'ir psucha, they left the city open. Vayirdafu acharei Yisrael, and they pursued Israel. Questions about this section. There's a lot here.
Why are Sukkim Yisrael brought there as part of the ruse?
Meaning, where are the Zikkanim brought?
Yeah, why are they? Is that part of like making it look like there's
where did he bring them?
Army plant?
To right at the top of the
front.
They were. I just want to make sure the. Did they descend with him? Right. Okay. So that's one question. Why are they out in front of the nation? Okay.
Were they really hurt, Bnei Yisrael? Is it supposed to be like the Torah saying they were hurt, but were they hurt or were they just acting?
Right. So the Mefarshim tend to assume that they were acting. There are some who don't like this so much because grammatically it doesn't seem quite right. But yes, Rashi suggests and the standard commentary suggests they acted as though they had been struck.
So why the, like, there's a lot of verbs for the beginning with I. Like the king saw,
Right? Yeah.
And then they did all these things.
They rushed. They got up early. And the people went out. Which one would you have taken out?
I definitely would have flipped up, rushed. Went out and rushed.
Yeah, that is odd. It's kind of funny that way.
I mean, I don't know. Also, it's just a lot of verbs for...
Well...
They're in scrambling mode. Right. They're like...
I mean, the Vayetzu who you need.
They
went out.
You think before you get the Speshkim, you should be first.
Right. Yeah.
But I think what it may show is not just haste, but confidence. You know? It's sort of like if you think of one of the old, like, Tom and Jerry or Roadrunner or whatever type of cartoons, right? So when he sees the innocent little whatever it is, mouse, chicken, whatever, you know, whatever, just sitting there out in the open and so obviously vulnerable. And he goes scrambling, right? You see the life cycle, you know? Like, I can't believe it, my opportunity now. And, you know, you just know, watching, that the mallet is waiting, you know, to smash him. He's going to trip the wire. That's what's going on here. It's meant to demonstrate just how confident they are. They rush. They rise in the morning. They're all, you know, it doesn't just say Vayetzu, they went out. But they were sure they got him this time.
Like they went to group Israel. Like they had the same control.
Yeah. I think it's probably just that's nuance of translation. The meaning, generally speaking, going out to war is called nekrat milchama. So I wouldn't read into that necessarily. But I think you're right about the verbs that they're sending us a message. Meaning the king.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he wants to get rid of these Jews once and for all, no? Remember, last time, for all of his rout of them, he only killed 36. So he's going to get everybody together. And you'll see how many it is. I think it's 10. If I remember correctly, it's 10,000 that we're talking about. It's a fair number. 12,000. Yeah, that we'll get to in Pasuk Chavei.
So, go ahead.
It sounds like now, like, first some went out. The men went out, but then after Yoshua and everyone fled, all the people were called out to pursue.
Right, so we have to figure out what happens.
Because then that relates back to what we said in terms of where were the people when they burnt the city.
Right.
Were they all out of the city because they all left?
Right, so that's coming in the next section, but you're right. We have to figure that out in terms of who exactly is where. So let's see how it plays out. We have to especially figure out. Sorry, there was another question.
There was one.
You're behind the camera.
Did we read Yitzayin? Did we read the Loni Shari?
Yes.
So it's also that no one's left in Ai and Beit El.
Ah, yes.
So
thank you for bringing that up on that. I forgot to mention that. Beit El did join in.
And right, also, but where did they come from? Because they were never mentioned.
But they were in between the two. But then it says Ve'ezvuta here. So first of all, both come out. Both empty out. And it says they leave the city open. So are they just leaving Ai open? Are they leaving Ai and Beit El open?
Right. I think Ai is still the one that's open. But I think here you're seeing that Beit El does in fact notice that there are a few thousand people sitting, you know, right next to the wall of the neighboring town. And so they come out to battle as well. Effectively, the ambush becomes bait for one, even as it's an ambush for the other.
Wait, so Beit El is chasing the ambushers?
Yes.
The ambushers?
Yes.
They're chasing them.
And then they're both.
Yes.
Just in terms of the map, because I'm not so visual. So here's the city, then you have the valley, and you have Yoshua here.
Here we go.
I
are the blueberries.
Yes.
Okay. I are the blueberries. We're now going to assume, well, north,
the
right,
orange is
sorry,
the
let the record show that north is that way. Okay.
Oh, no, well, actually, this is
north line,
so east, so north is
out. Okay, got it. North is that way. I moved to the other side of Clark. I can't tell anything anymore. So north is this way. Yes. So the entrance of the city is here. We know Yahushua is here with his group, right, in the valley. Yahushua is the camera case. Mm-hmm. We think that there's an ambush on the west side of the city here.
West side. That's north.
North is here.
North.
So yeah,
west
I'm sorry. Okay, west camera.
Yeah. And
okay.
The almonds are Beit El.
Right. This is Yericho. The oranges are Yericho.
Oh, and this is Beit El.
Correct. The ambush is in the camera, and this is Beit El. That's exactly right. The problem is only we don't, because we thought the ambushers were behind the city, in which case they should be where you are.
Right.
So yeah, but that's a little confusing.
But how are they planning getting out afterwards?
Sorry?
Like, if everything went well, then I was running out after this group with Yehoshua, right?
Yeah.
To hope to kill them all. And you'd think after they did what they went to do, they would turn around and come home.
Yes.
But meanwhile, there's a whole other group in there. So how are they planning getting out?
Which group is where?
The
Jewish ambushers. Who said they have to get out of anywhere?
They have people chasing them. They have people chasing them.
Yeah. So that's what we have to see.
Okay.
There's only one front door.
And she was going back the night before into the valley. You were saying it's vulnerable to go down into the Emek. So it says in the Yud Gimel that right before the Melech sees him, he goes that night into the valley. Like,
good.
He's not making Yeshua like a target, like that I could shoot him from.
You got it. So now we have to go through this and figure out what's going on. Because, we can't leave it like
is
that.
Is there only one entrance to the city? The front door?
Yes. You have the front gate. So this is a secure fortress.
It's clear that they're on the west side. They can't get in anyway.
Correct.
And they have to go back to the front.
Yeah.
Right.
What kind of ambush is that if they were going to go to the back door anyway, or the front side door? There's no doors.
So let's see how things play out.
And is the whole thing on the hill? It's sort of a hill because there's a valley next to it.
It is a hill in the sense that it has a valley
on one side.
On one side. Beyond that, I don't know. Okay. So let's figure this out, please. Going back to Pasuk Tet.
We thought you said it right.
Yeah. Yehoshua is now in the midst of the nation, right? We said that this was righting the wrong for which he had been criticized with the Kumlach and Kachimcha. Yeshua is in the midst of the nation. In addition to being in their midst, because that's where he's supposed to be, Abarbanel notes, he wants them to make sure they don't get nervous, right, regarding this whole war with Ai. And Radak notes is to be able to energize them and get them going, because remember he said that originally was because he was afraid they wouldn't be energetic about doing it. So this is more of the same. Radak is consistent with the statement that he made earlier. Okay. And we are then told in that pasuk, we were told that he sent the ambushers to be between Beit El and Ai, west of Ai. So Malbim suggests the following. There are actually going to be two ambush groups. And that's why we saw him send ambushers twice, because they're two different groups. So the first group, the group that we're seeing here in Pasuk Tet, is actually at the western edge of the south side of the city. So if I can borrow this, they're here. The reason why they're there is he wants them behind the city, because he doesn't want them to be detected, right? He doesn't want it to be that visible to the people of Ai. But on the other hand, he can't have them here. I'm sorry. He wants them to be able to come around to enter the city from the north. Right? Mm-hmm. So he wants them closer. But he doesn't want them so close that they're visible to Beit El.
Well,
go
on the other side.
Yeah. Go on the east side.
We'll get to the other side. Hang on. The other side. The other side's gone.
Yericho's
on the other side. Yeah.
We
control Yericho. Correct.
So what's the problem?
Think.
Maybe they'll make too much noise because they want to.
No. No. That's exactly the point. All right, I'll tell you. All right, hang on. Hang on. Another couple of psukim. Just give Malbim another two psukim, and then you'll see.
Okay.
But that's the idea. This group is right here. Okay, they're supposed to be less visible to Beit El, but close enough that they'll be able to come around quickly to enter by the front door. Okay, Yehoshua gets up early, we said, in Pasuk Yud, right? So, interesting to note, we've seen this word, he got up early, regarding Yehoshua, four times. Yehoshua is the king of getting up early in Tanakh, which is funny because in Chumash you think it's Avraham, because Avraham is recorded as getting up early three times after he davens for Sodom, and when he evicts Yishmael, and for the Akedah. Avraham has three. Moshe has two, both of them at Sinai. Yehoshua has four. He had one in the beginning of Perek Gimel, one in Perek Vav, one in Perek Zion, and one here. And the nation that he leads had a Vayeshkimu back in Pasuk Vav. It seems like it's core to his identity. Remember, the first week that we looked at Yehoshua, we talked about his role in Chumash, what we know about him coming into this Sefer. And one of the things that we noted was that he's identified as Lo Yamish Mitocha Oel. He never left Moshe's tent. This is somebody with energy. This is somebody with commitment. That's how we're supposed to envision Yehoshua. That's his style, and that's what he brings to the nation as a leader. And I say this and emphasize it because it's kind of hard when you get to Navi to really capture the personalities of the people we're talking about. People in Chumash, it's much easier because, number one, we're much more familiar with the Midrashim about them that flesh out some of the nuances of the Psukim. We read about them when we're little kids, like, you know, grade 1, grade 2, grade 3. You get the Parsha stories that they tell you in school. But you develop a certain picture of who, you know, Abraham is, who Rivka is. When you get to Navi, it's a much harder picture to get a complete image with. You know, the stories also tend to be much more limited and more fragmented. So this helps, I think, the fact that we're seeing that Yehoshua gets up early four times in the space of what we're now eight chapters in, I think says something. And combining it with Lo Yamish Mitocha Oel, that he doesn't leave the tent of Moshe, that gives us an image of this commitment and energy. I would say he was a Yeki. Except that it's not true. Because the Yeki doesn't get up early. The Yeki shows up on time. These are two different things. So, he's something else. Okay. How about I offended anyone with that? No, that was a friend of mine from Washington Heights said that to me. She said, if you show up early, you're not a Yeki. That was it. So, Pasuk Yud Beis, in sentence 12, he took 5,000 men and made the second ambush between Beit El and Ai, and they are described as being west of the city. So how exactly am I meant to understand that? So Rashi suggests, and Radak suggests, that they're closer to the city than the other group, and Abarbanel has a similar take. But this, again, using Malbim, he says this group, I need another something. Thanks. Poor Beit El. This group is actually on the northwest corner.
How are the cashews going to get past the juice?
This group, right. This is the northwest corner of
the city.
Who's there?
But they can see them.
They're entirely visible. Not visible to Beit El necessarily, but visible to Ai.
Sorry, who's that?
I thought Yericho was over there.
Yehoshua's group?
Yericho's here. Yericho's the artist.
Yehoshua's group is Kamakai.
Yehoshua's group is here.
So he sends one at night before.
Yeah.
And then the second one he puts there.
Yeah.
They're surrounded.
Yes. Precisely, because you left Yericho in the east.
And then they can't flee anywhere because there's
nowhere to go.
They cut off Beit El as a place to flee.
The only place you didn't put anybody is this part here, south to the southeast, because it's useless. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything there. But that's the idea.
And these guys will protect them.
These guys. Correct. This is bait. The Jujus are bait.
There's a lot of bait here.
Yes.
I see. So.
So they go, the blueberries go to the camera case.
He's a good warrior. He's
yeah.
Planning.
And the jujus.
As you'll see. Too. Yeah. Yeah. And the almonds go chase the jujus. And the cashews come and take over.
Yes.
But then they can't get out.
Well, the camera case is running.
And there were 30,000. There were 30,000 soldiers?
Yes.
Joshua took. So we, five are the five that he takes.
Are the Jews.
He took five and five are...
I'm so glad I didn't draw that.
Five are here.
Sorry.
These are 5,000. Oh, it's Joshua there. So here you have 20...
No, I'm sorry. These are the 5,000.
Oh, okay.
What the?
And we don't know how many are there, but you have a lot of people. Okay.
Right. Okay. Now that we got that.
Gotcha.
That's what Malvin says.
They're still trapping themselves also.
Sorry. So now these two parts are being chased.
Yeah, they're chasing them, and they're just going to turn.
So watch what happens.
Are they going to fall in the valley?
Watch what happens. And now we have to talk about. We have to talk about what Yehoshua is doing in this valley. Alina pointed out that Yehoshua is making himself vulnerable. What in the world does he think he's doing? Three different approaches. one, a Gemara that we saw months ago when it was first relevant. Remember the Malach went to speak to Yahushua before he went to war with Yericho? And Yahushua said, are you with us or are you with the enemy? And the Malach said, Ata basi, now I have arrived. This very cryptic response. So, source number four, Gemara in Sanhedrin. Omar Lei, the Malach said to Yahushua, Emesh, yesterday, bitaltem tamid shalbeinu arbayim. You didn't bring the carbon tamid that you were supposed to bring. Ve'achshav bitaltem tamid Torah. Now you haven't studied Torah. And Yahushua says, Al-Ezim and Basa, which one are you here for? Which one am I being punished for that you've shown up? Amar Lei Ata Basi. The Malach says, now I am here. It's because you weren't studying Torah. You're too busy preparing for war. Miyad Vayalin Yahushua Balayla Ubisoha Emek. And so immediately Yahushua went to sleep that night in the valley, meaning it wasn't literally a valley. Rather, Rav Yochanan explains, Malamed Shalon Be'omka Shal Halacha. He went to sleep in the depths of Halacha, meaning that he wasn't in a valley. Now, this Gemara is a problem for reasons having nothing to do with a valley. The valley is easy, and that doesn't bother me. In other words, taking valley as depths of Halacha is easy, because what they're doing is what Medrash always does. They're picking up on a problem in a Pasuk. The problem in the Pasuk is twofold. Number one, the Malach giving this bizarre answer of Atabasi. But number two, Yahushua doesn't want to be in a valley. Why in the world would he be in a valley? It serves no purpose. It's only a bad thing. So therefore, they're saying he's not. When it says he's in the depths, it means a different kind of depths. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me, and Radak points it out in source number five, is, as he writes, source number five, Vizat Rash Rachok. He says this Medrash is distant. And when he says, you know, when we say Karov, that means, yeah, this seems likely. Rachok would be the opposite. Yes. Number one, Kiyin Shas HaMachamah Shas Talmud Torah. Wartime isn't the time for you to be sitting down and studying. Don't crack the books right now. It's a bad idea. V'od, and further, Ki Pasuk Vayalen Yahushua Hu Rachok Mise Aparsha. Ki Hu B'machemes Ha'ai. He says, it's not immediate. The Malach came to him before the war with Yericho. Yahushua now is on the verge of the war with Ai. We don't know how much time has passed, but some time has passed. It's not immediately. So how are you linking the two stories? The ode, and further, he says, Ki kosev adrash hazet ta'ab pasuk vayalen. Ki beis psukim. He says, further, I have to tell you, he blended two psukim. Because in the war with Yericho, the pasuk says Vayalen Yahushua b'socha'am. Not the war with Yericho. I'm sorry. Earlier in the setup for Ai in pasuk Tet, it said Yahushua lay that night among the nation. That's Vayalen. Here it's not Vayalen. It's Vayelech Yahushua b'alayla hu b'socha'emek. Vayelech, not Vayalen. They blended two psukim. So Radak thinks there's some kind of error that has crept into this Medrash over time, and we're not getting the right version of this Medrash. Something's wrong here. The truth is that I think you can defeat Radak's Pasuk challenge and say that what the Medrash is trying to say is that when they prepared for war with Yericho, Yahushua was dinged for not being involved in Torah study. So then the next chance he had was the war with Ai, and now he made sure that he was involved in study. If I wanted to write, you know, to set that right, that would not be difficult. However, the Mefarshim suggested two other explanations for what Yahushua was doing, in fact, in this Emek. What is this business about a valley? If you take a look, excuse me, at Ralbag, which I brought you here in source number six, he says, Achshov, Zeshem Achshav Aso Vishtadluso. Lo aisa balayla hahu, ki im b'hasharat ha'am v'dvar melchama hazos. He says, I think everything Yahushua did that night was simply to prepare the nation for this war. All the work that Yahushua did, all the strategizing that Yahushua did that night, was simply to get the nation ready for war. So that they would not become weak, so that they would not lose confidence because they got struck the first time. Allah Yoshua Vizikna Yisrael Lifnei Ha'am. So Yoshua and the elders, there are the elders, go out in front of the nation. Ulazaya Yoshua Vaskane Makoma Yoter Masukana, therefore they were in the most dangerous place. He goes into the valley to show there's nothing to be afraid of. That's the idea. It's a gesture of confidence that he makes. That's the way Ralbag understands what's going on. It's a very interesting approach. It's very Ralbag. Barbanella is a similar idea.
How did that group that went out? Because it didn't really refer to them before. Right?
It didn't really refer to them before. It doesn't say that they're in the valley. It did refer to them only to say that they're with his group at the front. That was when they were mentioned. The Ralbag assumes they go with him the whole way. When I say it's very Ralbag, we've seen before, Ralbag is a very practical kind of an approach. To him, a lot of it is really nuts and bolts. What's going on and why on a practical level? Yeshua needs to get this nation to a place where they're going to be confident. The way he's going to do it is by demonstrating that he is fearless. He's going to go be right out front. One other approach, also a practical approach, and it's Malbim. Remember that Malbim is the one who's had his eye on where everybody is at all different times. So, by the way, you have to leave this for a week. It looks like we're not finishing the war here.
We
just expect Alina to arrange it, as it was. So, Malbim has the last approach on this. Take a look at source number 7, please. He says, "Hagam shabayom chanu lefnei ha'emek." He says, during the day they camped in front of the valley. Balayla yitchil Yoshua v'anashav lalachet b'toch ha'emek shaya bein ha'machane u'bein ha'ai. At night, Yoshua and his men went into the valley. So it's not just Yoshua; it's with the men also. They go into the valley between his camp and Ai. Why? Kedei sheyiru anshei ha'ai shemitkavim la'ir. So the people of Ai will see that they're getting closer. The goal is, in fact, to begin luring them. That's the idea.
And to make them think, this is going to be so easy. Here they are sitting ducks for us already again.
With the old people.
Right. With the old people. Yeah, they're right.
With the old people, yes.
With the
old, right.
With
the Torahs and known. Right. The leader and the old people.
So in the center.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the idea. And so they come out. Lamoed. So what is a moed? It could be the set place, which is what Dan Mikra said. Radak says it's simply the time the king had appointed for war. Simple. Rashi says that I had sorcerers that they relied on to tell them when is a good time to go out to battle. So that's another approach. The Malbim actually says the other way around. Malbim is so taken with the idea of Yoshua as a military leader. He says it was the time that Yoshua had called. Yoshua said, okay, they're going to come out at this time. And sure enough, that's when they came out. The time that Yoshua had predicted is going to be when Ai is going to come out for war, and it's going to be optimal, it'll work with our strategy, and so on. It's important, as you learn this, to see sort of the shitot that develop, the approaches down the line. Malbim is consistent in his view, and Ralbag is consistent as well in the way he looks at it. I brought it for you in source number 8. That's the last one that we'll see now. He says, Amar Lamoed Laharoch Mikamoha H Shahayom. I think it should be Shalayom. I think it's a typo in the text of Ralbag. But it said Lamoed to indicate that just like the time of day, Sheyatz Ulikratam Bapamarishona, that they went out to greet them the first time. Yatz Uata, they came out now. He said, the people of Ai left the city at the same time they did last time round to rout the Jews. They came out again. In other words, it's about their confidence level, the confidence level of the people of Ai. They go out at the same time and say, okay, is it repeat? We did this once before. We routed them. Now we're going to do it again. We're all going to go out and we're going to demolish these Jews. And the Jews, for their part, act as though they've been struck. They all seize that and they attack as well. So to sum up what we've said, we did not end up finishing the war. No, Val has source time. I'm bringing it. But the but just to sum up, Yoshua gave his instructions to the nation. He concluded with, "I have commanded you," because he's afraid of something. Either fear, rebellion, scramble for the spoils, whatever it is. The Jews set up all of these different ambushes so that the city is indeed surrounded. All sides taken care of. You may recall that when we discussed ethnic cleansing way back when, before chapter 3, we may be due for a refresher on that with the end of this chapter coming, but when we discussed it then, we pointed out that there's actually a halacha. You have to leave one side open for people to flee. But apparently here, that's not a consideration, because they surround them on all sides. Yoshua, the first night, camps with the people between day 1 and day 2. Between day 2 and day 3, he puts himself out front in the valley, whether as bait for the enemy, whether it means the depths of Torah, or whether it means to tell the people, look how confident I am. But they go through this 3-day period of preparation, which is going to ultimately make them a stronger and more confident nation, and a nation that's willing to follow Yoshua when they are victorious in this war. So we'll pick up with that, God willing, next week.